Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
Here we are in March. I think this is be shown March the 18th, Monday the 18th. Mm-hmm. Happy Monday. And we're talking about hearing God's voice and, having the privilege of that, what a joy that is. And we had a couple of neat experiences. I think I might have shared this to you, but I remember that kid had a ski accident.
Yes, yes.
And God had supernaturally said he's going to heal him. And we received it, and we prayed that way. Mm-hmm. He is on his way out of unconsciousness to consciousness, but ever since he had the accident in December, he's been on a ventilator.
Right.
And a few days ago, off the ventilator.
Praise God. That is amazing.
Breathing on his own. Mm. He's got all of his body itself is healing up.
Right.
Which has been
kind of
cool.
And they're keeping him in a coma right now. Is that correct?
They've been keeping him now that he can breathe.
So that his body could repair.
Now that he can breathe on his own. And they had clearance that, he doesn't have brain damage, that mm-hmm. They'll start to, what they do is they have to start removing, and they have to wean him off these drugs
right.
that were keeping him in that state,
right?
To where he'll gain, and they're starting to, and it's amazing how the body functions, but he's starting to recognize and follow the doctor and his eye movement and his face movement, and mm-hmm. So he's gaining. He probably wouldn't say he's conscious himself, but he's gaining consciousness.
But he is regaining consciousness.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
that's
there'll
amazing,
be a moment,
right?
and they're getting ready to move him to a rehab place because they said he's going to be fine. And so, mm-hmm. So anyway,
wow.
That's
praise God.
It's
that's
been
amazing,
fun,
right?
And just that whole process, particularly with the parents, have been listening to God's voice. Mm-hmm. And every step of the way of now what, and now what do we do,
right.
And how do we do this? And even when they were told a couple of times he's not going to make it through the night, mm-hmm. God, what do you got to say about it? They would say, well,
right.
we don't accept that. If God's taking him, we do accept that, but what do you got to say about it? And God kept speaking to him. Mm-hmm. We have another friend who's got cancer, had a stage 4 cancer. They had told him in November that he won't make it past Christmas.
Right.
And that's it, And, mm-hmm. and of course, we don't accept that per se. And because of what we've learned with Michelle and others is that we don't just say, well, we don't accept that, God heal him. Mm-hmm. We just say that we don't accept the human perspective on that.
We want God's perspective.
Father, what do you have to say? Including...
Right.
If you're taking him home, you take him home. And actually, Dave Dunkel had a great statement that I really mm-hmm. now use all the time as I'm processing with people, is that, and we told this to this person, Dave and I, if God takes you home, mm-hmm. Hallelujah for you.
Right.
If he keeps you here, hallelujah for us.
I love it.
and it's kind of like that way, is that, and Paul mm-hmm. says that to die is gain, and it's better to be with Christ than not, And so it's not that we determine it ourselves, but we do want to seek God, knowing that he's the mm-hmm. great healer.
Right.
And that he can speak. And so he made it past Christmas, and he's been, again, through things that the Dunkels knew about, particularly Melissa. Had access to brand new therapy that is a different approach to what this was versus everything that's been done in history prior to this time. Hmm. And it just so happens that the place there in Florida is part of the, you know, the clinical trial for this therapy.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful.
And she connected him up with them, and yeah, we can do that. Sure. You know, so he became a patient of this new therapy. Well, it started to work, and we prayed. First of all, we prayed, give us a sign. And he had what's called a PET scan. PET scan is a very detailed scan of all the cancer stuff going on. And he had been on therapy for about 4 to 6 weeks, and the tumor has already shrunk in half. And the cancer in the lymph nodes, which when they get there, it's like you're done.
Right.
They're gone. It's gone.
Wow. That's amazing. So that was like, that's a miracle right there.
That was great. Okay, great. We rejoice. We feel that's a sign. So what we did is that we gathered people who had a heart to hear God's voice.
Right.
And we had a session. And it was just, let's get in the Word. What has happened? What's truth?
Right.
And then let's pray and ask and seek. And so they did. So we did, and we were in the Word, and then we said, okay, has anybody received anything? What they did. And so, and we had lots of interesting things, but two things was this one lady, and she was invited, but she didn't know anybody there.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But she's been, because of her association with, she knew, you know, the one person that brought her.
Right, right.
She would told her the situation. Hey, would you go? And in a way, it's kind of fun because there's a purity to that. Is I'm just
not
going,
coming in with their own context or agenda.
I don't even know anything about this. I'm just going to go seek God. And so she does. Right. And so she hears, so we're sharing. She says, well, I heard Nobel Prize. That's what I heard. She says, I don't know what that means. And I was thinking, well, maybe there's, you know, some reward here, you know, and, but does anybody know what Nobel Prize means? Okay. So Dave and Melissa say, yeah, we do. The guy that invented this therapy just won the Nobel Prize. For that discovery.
Oh, that's amazing.
For that
right?
discovery. And God says, keep doing that. I spoke to her, and it's not like, here's what I'm going to tell you everything about it. I'm going to connect a dot, and when you say that, everyone will understand what it is. And we
said,
amazing. That's that, you know. And then this other lady said, you know, I got to, and she had actually emailed me earlier in the day. She said, I have this vision of lilies. And I looked up in scripture, and, you know, Matthew and Luke, and they talk about, you know, lilies of the field. And I said, well, you received right. I said, keep reading. I said, because it's about the kingdom. And seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. And don't fret. I've got this. And so she went back and processed it and brought that message and lilies. And so she said, I got this vision of lilies and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And now this is what this means and all that. And so Melissa says, look at the table. On the table are fresh lilies that Melissa had bought for this occasion. And she just went to the store and got them.
Oh, how funny.
And they're sitting right there in front of everybody. And we were all like, oh my gosh, look at this.
That's awesome. It's
remarkable. And so God, and as you're hearing his voice, he does these wonderful things. And particularly with the community that you're around, which is what we've been talking about, is he brings things together. And the neat thing, and I've really appreciated this, and I actually love it this way. He doesn't just say, well, here's everything you need to know about it. It's, I'm going to speak something. I'll show you what that means as you walk forward.
Right.
But record that you heard it. And these two people at least shared, this is what I heard. Or this is what I saw. And then it's like, oh, do you recognize this? You know, and like we all rejoice, and we all, you know, had a great time with it. So, we believe that God was reinforcing healing. and they I'm going to heal him. And then Dave had received an insight about something he had, because we did hear receive, after you do the will of God, the promise will be fulfilled. There's something he has to do. And we were praying about that, and Dave had a great insight about what that meant for him. And so we actually afterwards got together with them and said, here's what we think this is meaning. Here's an assignment for you to go process with God.
Right.
Because Dave heard that, and we said, this is where God wants to take it. And see, the life of God is, it isn't just give me the answer and I'll see you later. It's the constant ability to stay in dialogue with God, and he'll speak. And by the way, he's directing traffic to all of us to enjoy it. And we all recognize how wonderful it is.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, think about the joy, because he designs things like this to be done in community too, the added joy of seeing and hearing the confirmation around the room, right?
Yes.
As people hear different pieces of it, and then God speaks, you know, again, the one woman who doesn't even know full context, but then someone else in the room does.
Yes.
And I just think that's so beautiful how God uses that. And I know, you know, I had shared with you even a dream that God gave me regarding this also. And it just, it's amazing to me how God weaves it all together.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily fully understand the part he gives us, but in community we do. And he uses the Holy Spirit to reveal the pieces. And just that shows the beauty of the church, the beauty of the body, and our need for one another, and how God designed us for that community, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the and I passed that along, that dream along to everybody, and they, you know, like, yep, we see it. And then by the, you know, God gave you, hey, by the way, there's something here about Michelle that I want you to tell Rich and Linda, and it's not really even fully related to. Mm-hmm. To this person, other than
but there was a sweetness to
that
it.
She was
right?
part of it, and there was a message there, and God says, "Hey, by the way, I want you to tell this to them." It's I don't know. It's just hard to put it into words. Mm-hmm. The thrill, the honor, the joy, the privilege of hearing God's voice with a heart to hear, and because there's a heart to hear. God speaks.
Yeah.
And he has us here. Yeah. It's really
I actually, as you're saying this, I'm reminded, I believe the episode will have aired by now, but when we were talking about that passage in Thessalonians, and in the passage it says, do not despise prophecies.
Right.
And I'm just thinking about how there are a lot of traditions in American churches that really want to despise prophecies,
yeah.
You know, for lack of a better way to phrase it, that don't believe that God is still speaking and can still speak. And I just think of the beauty when we see things like this and we get to be a part of that, just recognizing the vast number of ways that God does speak to us and paying attention and having a willing heart to hear and a willing heart to receive those and test them, just like the scripture said, test them and see if they align with my word, test them, bring them to me. So it's not that everything you hear, you know, sometimes we hear through a filter or we're paying attention to the wrong thing, you know, but as we test them, God will bring clarity in that, and especially in community. And I think that's just a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the actually, as we talked, you know, today about, as we're putting ourselves in a position to hear. We talked, first of all, that it's, you know, believe it's possible. So have a heart to say, you said I can hear. I would have a heart to hear, and I believe it's possible to hear, so help me hear. He said, spend intimate time with him and keep practicing it. You'll start to recognize it, and it'll be clear to you that this is God's voice, and it's kind of cool. And I would just say, the more that you practice it, the more you have a heart to do it, interesting enough, the clearer it becomes. It's kind of fun.
Right. And it's fun, but too, because if I can just share one more quick story, God will help you recognize, like I feel like for me anyway, he has shown me time and time again, I want to confirm to you that you're hearing with clarity.
Right.
And so as you surrender that, he does, he will put circumstance up where he speaks clearly and then shows you, I want you to see this so that you recognize how much you are hearing me. And I think there's a sweetness to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, the purity of it is there's as you're getting yourself in a position is there is a requirement, a willingness to surrender, mm-hmm. and that is that I release my filter.
That's good.
I'm going to interpret anything through what I really want. Mm-hmm. Our friend Dave Dunkel keeps saying is that people tend to shop for a yes.
Yes.
And then they say, well, that was God's will. That was God speaking. But really, I filtered it because mm-hmm. I really didn't surrender. I didn't really release mm-hmm. my will to hear purely what God has to say, because it does have to have a purity to it. So let's go to this is two statements about Jesus. John 4:34 is first of all.
Sure. It says,
go ahead.
Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
Yeah, he said, so, and my food, my daily sustenance is mm-hmm. to do, fulfill the will of him that sent me, which means I have to hear his will, and I willingly surrender my will to his will to receive it. And then look at John 6:38, which says it as well.
It says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Okay. I've come not to do what?
Not to do my own will.
I haven't come in any way to do my own will, but only mm-hmm. the will of them who sent me, which means I have to hear his voice mm-hmm. direct me. He says, I did nothing except what the Father spoke.
Right.
So I completely surrendered my will, and Christ demonstrated that. To say life with God is to be the same way that I showed you when I was here, mm-hmm. and that as a person, who obviously had connectivity and was God, I surrendered my will to the Father. Mm-hmm. And by definition, because I have a heart to surrender, I heard all the time.
Right.
And that was the purity of it. Okay, it gives us a great example of this. Go to Mark 14, verses 32 to 42.
Sure. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed, and he spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer. Then he came the third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
Yeah. So the Garden of Gethsemane is a description of the battle they had to go through. He's been speaking and knowing. And you can read this in other places in Scripture, particularly in Matthew 16, is that he described, he said, I explained to the disciples that I'm going to suffer from, you know, Pilate and the Romans. I'll be beaten. I will go to my death,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll be resurrected. And he describes it to them. Now, by the way,
right.
They had a hard time receiving that, because remember their view of
course
their view of Messiah was what,
that he was going to be a king, a political power, and
we're coming to rule. And actually the just a few chapters before this in where it says Mark 14 about Gethsemane is that they were in the upper room, and what do you think the disciples were arguing about?
Oh, who's going to be the big cheese next to Jesus, you know?
Yeah, who's going to be in charge?
Who's your right-hand man?
I get to be in charge of this new kingdom that we're going to rule. And that's what they were fighting over, which is kind of funny, because an interesting thing, Jesus didn't say, what's wrong with these people? And, but they didn't quite understand it, but Jesus had described it. So he knew exactly what the purpose was. He knew that all along, you know, that the solution that he was going to provide was the way that mankind could have life back again with God. Because of what I did at the cross, I forgave it, I took away the requirement of being perfect. Now I offer, because of what I did for you, forgiveness and sacrifice, took the penalty. Now you can receive me if you have a heart to receive it. I'm not going to force you to. It's a choice you have to make.
Right, right.
But I give you the opportunity to. And that's what he did at the cross. Well, underneath it all, and Paul goes into a great discussion of this, by the way, in Romans chapter 5. He said the real issue is about the will. And he takes it back to Adam and Eve.
Right.
And said they had a free will. And what did God tell them in the garden?
Told them, don't eat from the tree.
Don't eat of the tree of good knowledge of good and evil, because you will die. And you'll lose the essence of the spiritual life that gives you ability to let me live my life through you. And you'll have a joyful life with me. But I give you a will because it has to be through desire, not through obligation. And they said by one man and woman, the will separated from God and handed over the authority to the enemy of earth. And everybody now have a sin nature. He says that's what caused the whole thing. The remedy is that Christ surrendered his will to fulfill what God had for him to solve the problem. And it was through the loss of Adam and Eve's failure could be regained by Christ surrendering his will.
Right.
And that's the battle, see? And so Gethsemane, interesting enough, is actually the fulfillment of that battle.
That's interesting.
So, because we put everything at the cross, yes, it had to go there. But actually, the victory was in Gethsemane. And that's when, and I don't know if anybody remembers watching Mel Gibson's The Passion. He got this right. And at the end of Gethsemane, when Christ walks out of the garden with surrendered will, he stomps on the head of the snake. And he actually, that's when he defeated Satan, was there.
Fascinating.
It's really interesting. So, okay, so Christ is in the garden, and he knows that he's about ready to go to his death. And his he goes in, his first statement, Father, I know that you're fully capable, you're sovereign, creative, and all-powerful.
Can we have a different plan?
Can you do this? Can you do this a different way? Because my will, and by the way, this is spoken in John chapter 12, he says, when I go to my death, I'm not going to receive any assistance. As I seek God's will now, I receive assistance. In this case, it's going to have to be purely my choice, and I'm going to have to fight through it. And so he goes in and says, is there a different way? Because my will at the moment, I now at this point don't want to continue and finish this with going to my death.
Right.
I'd rather not. Is there a different, and I know you could do it. Is there a different way? The Father ultimately, and by the way, when he's in the garden, he's in there for hours. It's not like, oh yeah, I went, you know, not my will be done, yours. He's out. He's in for hours. He's battling, and he's in discussion with God.
Right.
Is there a different way? No, there isn't, son. You know, could we do it this way? No, no, I can't. Why? Well, because of this. Hey, don't worry. I'm going to resurrect you. And he got confidence. Okay, so he says, okay, not my will be done, but yours, and walks out. Why does he go back a second time?
Because he's still wrestling with it, right?
Yeah, because see, and this is the issue of hearing God's voice, is that he knew, okay, I am going to surrender my will because I know that's the key. But inside of his heart,
it wasn't
his
quite
soul,
settled.
I know I'm not there yet. I say so, but
My desire is to be there, but I know
I'm not really surrendered to this yet. I got to go back in. So it goes back in a second time. Same thing. Hours again. Another hour or so in. Processing. Can we do it a different way? Walks out. Not my will be done, but yours. But he goes in a third time. Because, see, the surrender of the will is in the soul. It's not because I say I'm going to. It's not an intellectual thing. And it starts there. I have a heart to. I'm going to process that. But you have to stay with it until you truly surrender. And then he marches out finally the third time, and he says, okay, not my will be done, but yours. Let's go. And he settled it. That's when he stomped on the head of the snake. He conquered the will. And then from that point forward, is there any more struggle to go to his death?
No.
See, no. Why? Because he literally had it settled with surrender, and now could walk each step of the way, including, you know, you can read, by the way, in John chapter 18, a great discussion he has with Pilate of statements that he makes about that. And he is hearing God's voice completely and knowing that the path that he has to follow is God's path, the Father's path. And he never struggled again, you know, with that point, because he conquered the surrender.
Right. Do you ever wonder, this is just musing, I have no theological basis for this, but do you ever wonder when you look at that garden scene, if, you know, he asked his friends to be praying, knowing he was in a spiritual battle to surrender his will, and his friends failed to pray.
Right.
Would that battle, you know, the battle of the will in Gethsemane been shorter, easier? Would he have not come out a few times if his friends had stood in the gap and prayed with him in community,
well,
you know?
I'm just
curious.
Well,
here
is the interesting thing about that. Would it have made it shorter? Probably not. What would it have done? It actually would have been the wisdom and insight that they received had they joined him.
Right.
In the process. So the wisdom and the purpose and all of that, they would have received that to understand it better.
Which would have given them more strength going into what was coming as well.
Yeah, because remember, interesting enough, they all failed.
Right.
Completely. And Peter particularly, because, you know, he says you're going to, and he did. But he goes to the cross. Okay, guess what? Guess who wasn't there? The disciples.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't go. The only one that went was John. Everybody else fled. They didn't follow him all the way through, because had they prayed, they would have
then
had,
God would
they
have
would
given
have,
them
they would have had wisdom and insight and clarity about it, so
on
it,
how it, to navigate and what was coming,
and it would have been more fulfilling for them to have joined him. And the prayer actually was going to be for their it wasn't that it would shorten the time for Christ, other than I care about you,
right,
and I am going to pray that you move through this and you receive it and then are able to stay with it. And he got no assistance from any of them. So they didn't care for him in that regard. And two, they didn't learn what it all meant.
Right.
What it was all about. So it's, you know, it's a great question. And Jesus did ask him to do it.
Yeah, he did. You know, he invited them into that.
I'm asking you, this is a battle. And see, it's how Jesus operated, is that it's a battle. Pray with me. Okay. Think of what the disciples didn't do. What for? What exactly do you want us to pray about? What battle are you having? They didn't ask any questions. And Jesus says, "You've let me down."
Right.
And interesting enough, they finally, after Pentecost, started to understand. If I got a question, I'm going to go ask. I'm going to go talk to him about it. He said, "You at least you should have at least asked."
Mm-hmm.
And you boys were so lousy, so lazy, you couldn't get there, you know. And so I'm teaching you intercession. Actually, I've done a whole series. I'm going to do it for our retreat coming up in May on intercessory prayer. It's way different than everybody thinks. Because it's like, oh, would you pray for me? Yeah, I'll pray, blah, blah, blah. Actually, what Jesus was actually asking them, would you pray with me? He wanted them to say, what exactly are we seeking?
Right.
And he would have said, well, I'm struggling with God's will.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? You know, and well, he would have told him. See, and we're going to have this great retreat actually set up on intercessory prayers. It's really going to be mm-hmm. great. It's great, great study. So great question. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, as we hear your voice, it is about surrender. And it's getting to the point we probably have to go through our own Gethsemane and maybe all the time to truly surrender. So we're not kind of surrendering and maybe, yeah, but we still have our own desires to fulfill. Rather, we truly get to the place of releasing it all so that we could hear your voice and give us the ability to follow that voice, which is what Christ did. And so what a great example to us. He came to do your will, and he demonstrated it by the battle he had in Gethsemane until it became true. May that be true for us. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Always a joy to do this together. And if you have questions, be sure to send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And remember, still, as we are still on the heels of celebrating our 750th episode, that was March 8th, send in your email. We're going to be having a drawing and do some little giveaways. So be sure to send that in to us. And thank you for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.